Good afternoon. My name is Kyle Ward. I'm the math assessment consultant with MDE.
And I'm Nikki Mosser. I'm the ELA consultant.
And I can't help but notice when my colleagues put together the slides, I always get last billing. So I'm sure it's alphabetical, right?
Yes, definitely.
Yes. Okay. More seats. I was in a meeting in Southern California last year, and they were showing all the states involved in the project, and I said, something's wrong with the map of Michigan. Really, what's that? I said, you left off the entire UP. And they were like, yeah. Fix that. That and Mountain Dew did that recently, right? Yes. I don't know if they got their special flavor they were supposed to get. They were promised, but okay. You ready to go? Okay. So just an overview from the last few years. We've gone from getting things back much quicker, from 24 to 48 hours, the preliminary results. We went from, 15. Oh, those are incident reports. I don't see our, 80% online in 2015 to 99%. And I don't see that changing because we always going to need the paper and pencil tests. Incident reports, that's when something goes bad, right? We went from just under 10,000 in 2015 to just about 800 last year to 677, so 7% from 2005's total. So we're getting much better. Okay, now we saw the count. We said, how many people are coming? There's not a whole lot of changes. And so we are going to say, these are the two big changes in MSTEP. One is the ELA passage-based writing field test. The other is the Desmos. Other than that, everything's pretty much the same. So we won't be brokenhearted if anyone wants to go to another presentation. But I think you're locked in. Okay.
So Kyle and I are kind of going to go back and forth because we've integrated the ELA and the math together. So I just wanted to touch base with you regarding the passage-based writing field test. Earlier, a flyer went out in our magazine. If you are not a subscriber to our magazine, it is called The Spotlight, and you can access that on the MDE webpage. And basically, our passage-based writing field test these are all contexts that are written by Michigan authors, and they are for students 3 through 8. We did include grade 8, just in case we need to use that in further testing down the road. And the field test took place in January and February. We did this last year as well as this year, and we've had really great results from our passage-based writing field test. We were hoping to have about 1,000 participants at each grade level, and in some grades we had over 7,000. So thank you to all of you who participated in that. We were really pleased with the results. So here's my thank you again. The field tests are used to check the adequacy of testing procedures and the stats for these new items. The items were tested in the field and then will possibly be used on future tests. So as you can see, this is as of February 1st, 2019. These were the numbers that were coming in for the students who took those tests. And by the time we closed out, which we extended the date by about a week because of all of the snow days, ice days, cold weather, etc. And so our final results are in that middle column. And then we did this test again. We just finished that up. These are our kind of preliminary as of February 1st. This is kind of where the numbers are. And then when we close out, we will add in the final. So we're hoping that the final will be similar to that of last year.
And here's the big change for the basic calculator. It's a Desmos calculator. The big complaint we got for the previous calculator that it was didn't follow order of operations, which I was kind of thought was a moot point because those items typically didn't have a calculator with them. But now here it is. I have proof that it does follow the order of operations, right? If it didn't, it would be 7, it would be 35, correct, and not 23. So there's proof. You can go on. If you go back. We have there in our OTTs, our sample items, there's calculator practice, and there's a drop-down. It has both the scientific and the basic. Of course, on the real test, it's you're just going to have one or the other and not on every item. So, and it's very, it changes the answer as you, it changes the answer in real time. There's no need to hit the equal sign. So it's very, very intuitive. Okay, and so that's going to be for grade 6, right? No calculators, K through 5. And grade 7 is the scientific. Now I left off, that's the main page. I left off this ABC page because it's a essentially a QWERTY keyboard, and I don't think there's any need to use that. And then the function key. And so there are your, a lot of those won't be used, but they're there. They're above grade level, but they're still there. So this will be the your main scientific calculator.
Okay, so something that's up and coming in a few weeks is our range finding. So I wanted to kind of highlight that at the beginning because it's something that's going to be happening relatively soon. So our range finding is a process in which a committee of educators review student responses from the field test that we just finished. And they will review the responses, discuss them within the committee. Each member has a card system, and they rate those 1 through 4 based on our holistic rubric. And then finally, a decision is reached based on consensus among the group. And these responses are then used to create training sets, which will then be used to guide readers to score the responses for the field test. And the range finding will take place in the beginning of March. So here is our kind of presentation overview for ELA. We're going to go through all of the claims. The blueprint is very similar to that of last year. So again, not really a lot of changes. The passage-based writing field test, there is one thing I did want to mention. Last year, we just had the passage followed by the writing prompt. And this year, when we did the field test only, we included 5 questions prior to the student answering or doing the writing portion. And these 5 questions were writing questions based on the passage. So as to how we will in the future use those, that's to be determined. We may decide to present the passage and then just give those items independent scores, or we may just use the passage separately, or maybe down the road we might do both. We were very careful not to cue any of the writing responses based on the questions that were after the reading. But again, that's something that we're just field testing. It will not be on the test. And then we're going to go through examples of the different types of questions that are on the test. So very few changes. The only change, which I'll mention a little later, is on the passage-based writing. I'll show you the bulleted list in a minute. And in one of our committees that we held, one of the teachers asked us to include, I think it says something about incorporates an introduction, and then it had conclusion. She wanted us to add in the word body for students. So that is like the only difference. So claim 1 is reading, no changes again. Claim 3, listening, no changes. Then claim 2, writing, it's very similar to the assessment from last year. There are no constructed response items, and there are 12 to 14 items. The passage-based writing prompt is in here. It was formally called the text-dependent analysis, but the field did not like that as the label. And so it was kind of unclear to them as to what the students would be doing, so the name was changed to passage-based writing. The checklist was the other thing where we just added introduction, body, and conclusion, and I'll show you that in a moment. The writing standard 2, compose full informational text on a topic using a complete writing process. The students will read a passage, either literary or informational, and there are many genres that they will write to. We include poetry, realistic fiction, so forth. There's science, there's social studies, different informational text also. Students will respond to the prompt after reading the passage and use informative and explanatory writing. It is a 4-point rubric. I have copies of the rubric if any of you need them. There's also a link on here, so you can access it that way. You can go to the MDE website, and it is on there as well. And then it is embedded in the online experience, but it's not part of the CAT algorithm. One of the questions that we received this year is, can you please tell us what number the passage-based writing is on the test? And so we checked with everybody, and yes, we can tell you. It is number 7. So there will be 6 prior questions, which are part of the CAT algorithm, and then number 7 is the passage-based writing. Here's the rubric. It's a holistic rubric. Students can receive a score of 4, 3, 2, or 1. And here's the bulleted list that I mentioned. And this is the only minor change right here, is the body and the conclusion. And the link to that is on the bottom. Here's the link to the 4-point scoring rubric. And then the passage-based writing is aligned to standard W2. Write informative and explanatory text to examine a topic and convey ideas and information clearly. Introduce a topic and group related information together. Include illustrations when useful to aid in comprehension. Develop the topic with facts, definitions, and details. Use linking words and phrases to connect ideas and provide a concluding statement. Sure, do you want a copy of the rubric? Yeah. And then grade 3 is aligned to the standard W8. Recall information from experiences or gather information from print and digital sources, take brief notes on sources, and sort evidence into provided categories. Grades 4 through 7 are aligned to standards W2. We pulled out one example, which is grade 5, but if you go online, you can pull out any grade that you prefer. We just went through one and highlighted one grade throughout the 4 through 7 category. So standard 2, write informative and explanatory text to examine a topic and convey ideas and information clearly. Introduces a topic clearly, and develop the topic with facts, definitions, concrete details, quotes, or other information and examples related to the topic. And one thing that we're really looking for in the students' writing is for them to make their claim and then support it with textual evidence. So going back and doing that is really important. And then standard 2 continues. Write informative explanatory text to examine a topic and convey ideas. Link ideas within and across categories using words, phrases, and clauses. Use precise language and vocabulary, and provide a concluding statement. W4, produce clear and coherent writing in which the development and organization are appropriate to task, purpose, and audience.
Bless you.
And W8, recall relevant information from experiences or gather relevant information from print and digital sources, summarize or paraphrase information in notes, and provide a list of sources. And 9, draw evidence from literary informational text. Apply grade 5 reading standards to literature. Compare and contrast 2 or more characters, setting, or events in a story or a drama, drawing a specific details in the text, and apply grade 5 reading standards to informational text, explain how an author uses reasons and evidence to support particular points in a text, identify which reasons and evidence support which points. Claim 4 research, it's the same as 2019. No performance task, no constructed response, no changes. And the 6 to 8 items are on there, all selected response, and it's embedded in the CAT. Here are the claims. This can also be found online.
Okay, back to me. Oh,
back
wow.
To you.
Oh, I was thinking since we're such a small group, we could do introductions. So, sir, if you'd start us off. No. But we have a show of hands. How many teachers are in? Okay. Administrators? Whoa, better be on my best behavior. Does that intersect with ISD?
ISD?
One? Okay. And I think, is that it? Is that not all categories? Okay. It should say 3 through 7, but we hadn't changed just the snapshot, and they hadn't changed the slide yet. So again, no performance tasks. This is your range. This is exactly the same as last year, 19 to 20 items for concepts and procedures, 3 to 5 for problem solving, 3 for communicating reasoning, or 9 to 11 for strand 3, and 5 to 7 for modeling and data analysis. You should have seen the look on his face when I asked him to, you know. Okay, same as before, no performance tasks. We added a couple items to make up for that, and we didn't have because we changed the test, we didn't have a standard setting, we had a standard validation. We had a group of teacher come in for a few days to make sure that the cut scores aligned with the cut scores when we had the performance task. And again, no performance tasks, so only one test ticket instead of two. Sample item types. Okay.
This site is on here as well. So either screen, put it on here twice. So this is something that's really important for you as an educator to relay this information to the powers that be, i.e. teachers, that having students prepare ahead of time with the item types that they will be exposed to is really important. Not necessarily the content, but just how to interact with the computer and what they will be encountering as they are taking the test. So this is where the site is. It has M-STEP. It has our K2. How many of you knew that we had a K2 assessment? Yay!
How many people give the K2 assessment?
Yay!
Wow, okay.
And then My Access, and then sometimes where it says reserve there, we have our passage-based writing field test there. And then this is kind of another picture of what it will look like on your screen. And then it says select a video from the list on the left, or hover over any icon for information. Click on the icon to view a tutorial. So these are the tutorials that you can go to for students to look at. These are our types of items. Julie, actually, can you go back? One more? Thanks. So one thing I also want to say about practicing ahead of time, doing bits and pieces along the way is probably a good way to start. Making sure that your students practice keyboarding and how to use the mouse is really important, especially those third graders. You could do a whole school PD and then share information about, you know, things that they noticed, what you need to work on. Making sure that students aren't stressed, so preparing them ahead of time, this is what it will look like, just exposing them to that. And on our practice, you should be able to go through and see different item types so that they can get exposure to not just a multiple choice question. And you'll see when we go through kind of how the items are set up a little bit differently and how they function. And then it mirrors how the student's going to log in. And you can use, you know, a part of it or all of it, whatever best meets your student's needs. Thank you. Okay, so this is one type of response. It is considered the constructed response. This is like our passage-based writing. You read the passage and then complete the task that follows. Here is the bulleted list right here. And then above it, here's what the student is writing to. The passage tells about a student taking a trip to an aquarium. Write an essay analyzing how the student changes his or her opinion about the aquarium trip. Use evidence from the passage to support your essay. That's like the big key point. And then you can reference the passage as frequently as you need. And then we used to have a checklist, but students were then writing about the checklist rather than writing about the prompt. So now we have a bulleted list, and hopefully that will help students not to answer, yes, my paper is organized, or yes, I have an introduction in my paper. The online reading test layout, some of you may or may not know, on the top and bottom, it has a blue bar. That's to show there's more text above, more text below. The text is going to always be on this side, and then on the next side is going to be where the student will respond. The scroll bar is the black bar that's in the middle. I can't reach, I'm too short. Good question. Can you talk to me later? Okay, perfect. And then online listening test layout, the student will push the play button. They're not prompted to put their headphones on like they were in the past. So most of the students have their own headphones, or you have something set up in advance. They can pause it along the way where the play button is. There'll be two lines like a pause, so they can pause it. They can go back and listen to the passage as many times as they would like. And then again, the question is on the next side. This is a multiple choice item, and these are pretty standard, so I don't think I have anything more to say about that one.
Multiple choice for math. If you click on C and click double click, it goes away. And if you click on B, it also disappears. So nothing new there. Okay. We do have at least one item type, one item for each item type in the sample sets.
This is an ELA response. It's an evidence-based selected response. This particular one is a Part A, Part B. Part A will be on one screen. The student will have to click and then go to Part B. And then this one in particular says click on two sentences from the passage that best support your answer in Part A. So notice it has two and it's in bold. Some of our older items, they're still goodies but oldies, will not say that. It may say select all that apply, but our newer items are telling students this is how many you need to look for. And then the students can select, and this is important to tell your students, not every sentence is a selectable sentence. So it's okay if it's not a selectable sentence, that's one you can't choose. So some of ours are set up where every sentence is a selectable sentence, but some of them are not. So that's just something to keep in mind. And again, like Kyle said, if you double click on it, it will deselect. Or the little eraser button up there, you can click on that and that will erase it. Yes?
Is it still okay for a student who questions the test proctor to say at that point, don't try to, the kid is trying to select a sentence, it can't be selected. It's still okay for the teacher to say, that's not right.
I think that's fine because that goes with the directions, you know. If you can't select it, then find something. I probably wouldn't say it's wrong. Well, I would just say they won't allow you to select that one.
Well, all so the more reason to do the sample items.
Right. And then here's an example of a multi-select. Again, here in the directions, it says pick three details, but in some of our oldies but goodies, It might say, please select all that apply. So the student can click on as many that as they deem fit.
Three.
Julie was saying, if it says pick three and the student does pick four, it will say something about
maximum selected
is three, right?
We get a pop-up. Okay, just like in ELA, we multiple select for.
What if they don't select enough?
You do not. That's a good point. You do not. On the CAT, that's a very good point. On the CAT, multiple, you have to click something to move on. But if it says select three, it will let you move on with just one. Okay. If you're dragging and dropping, and there's three things to drag and drop, and you drop one, it'll let you move on. Okay. The exception is, and I have the table coming up, the two-way frequency table, that needs to have something put in everything. It won't let you move on. So just, yes. Bruce. For right now, the system is all or nothing. There are a couple multiple part items, but in general, yes, they're all or nothing.
This is a matching table. The student will click in the box next to each type of light to show which detail is best. It best matches. So the student will be able to click on which of the three boxes fits lights around the South Pole. Is it above one of the coldest places on Earth, starts with a pale green light, or found all over the sky?
Matching table. Here's another example of if you just click one yes, it will let you move on. Might not be ideal, but that's how it works. So some of these, the oldies but goodies, some of the oldies, you could hit yes and no. The new ones are mutually exclusive, so that's a step in the right direction. And of course, the eraser. Hotspot, if you click on one, it'll turn yellow. Click it again. Okay. Again, all these sample items, all these types are in the sample sets. Graphing, you put a dot, put another dot, do the drag down for the line segment, and it populates the line. That's why you practice. That's why we have the sample items, so the technology does not get in the way. The only reason a student should get an item wrong is they don't know the content, not.
But if they're supposed to pick three and they only pick one, are we testing that they know how to take a test and make a question? Or are we testing that they understand the concept of what they're supposed to be assessed on?
Well, that knowing that you're supposed to pick three is part of what you're assessing, right?
So we're testing that they know how to take a test.
Reading the question, even in mathematics, is part of the.
Just saying.
Now, if you go back to the paper and pencil, if you went back to the MEEP days.
If they pick four, it doesn't let them go forward if they don't pick enough. So we're correcting them if they get too many, but if they don't pick enough.
Yes, but in the old paper pencil test, you could skip an item and go on. You could fill in A, B, C, and D. You could draw a Christmas tree. Okay, grade A graphing. This one, you would part of the line is drawn, and you would extend the line. Again, all these are in the OTTs. Now, this is the one where you have to fill out everyone. It will not let you go on. It's a different item type than the others. Drag and drop. You drop all four to the line. This is not an item. This is just the keypad input. Remember the first year, it was teeny tiny. We got a lot of negative feedback on that. She had to click on that little dash, and then it expanded. Now it's right there. Now they vary from item to item, even within grade, just depending on what features that you need. So you might have a keypad input at the sixth grade that's more sophisticated than you have at a higher grade because you're the higher grades may be doing something a little simpler with that item. Now, this is not, it doesn't do any actual computation. Now, if you're doing either one of the calculators and you put 5 plus plus 7, you're going to get an error message. This is not doing any, it's just whatever you type in.
This is placing the events from the passage in order. The student can click on the selectable text and then move it up or down however they want. Then they can read through all of them in the order that they have selected to make sure they are good with their final results, and then can move on.
This is a relatively new item. This is a line plot item. So if you hit your mouse anywhere above one of the numbers or in between the ones that aren't marked, you'll get your X. And you will get it won't let you stack up and above the item itself. So you will get a max selected for that particular column. Drop down, again, relatively new. I think that's, everyone knows what a drop down is, working on their laptop.
So here are the claims, targets, and standards. This is also online if you need to reference it. And the claims, targets, standards, or a crosswalk are online as well for each of the grades.
This is just like when I get my name at the bottom of the presentation, just skip right over my slide. Claims, targets, here's a crosswalk in. This is just one grade, this is sixth grade, but they're all there for the 3 through 7. Okay, how many folks have been involved with the development of the test? Okay, I don't see my veterans. I've had people on that committee for longer than I've been on the job. People who aren't involved don't realize the extent of the involvement with the teachers. Michigan teachers write the items, the bias committee, content committee, range finding, when you have a big change in the test, standard setting. So go there and sign up. Please don't use what I call the shotgun approach. We have some folks who are math teachers in the fourth grade sign up for social studies, science, figuring that that'll increase their chances. That's not very helpful. So please pick your content that you have experience in.
So like Kyle said, this is your way to get involved. So if you want something changed, this is your avenue to do it. All the teachers are reviewers of the items. We take your feedback, use that feedback, and then improve the items that are on there. So these are just some of the committees. And the first one is context review. So that deals with narrative and informational text. Right now, Michigan authors, published authors, are writing the context for the stories, the passage-based writing. There are two committees that kind of follow that path. And then those are bias and sensitivity committees. And if you go back one really quick, sorry. The bias and sensitivities are reviewed at the same time. We do look very closely at the item. Many different sets of eyes are on the items. The purpose of this committee is to make sure that the presence of some characteristics of an item that result in differential performance for two individuals of the same ability, but are from different subgroups, and then the sensitivity, so making sure the content or language in an item or passage doesn't offend or unintentionally distract or cause an emotional reaction from the test taker.
Or lose your colloquialism. You can't have an item that says UP in it because a lot of kids just moved here from Michigan. They don't know what the UP is. No offense.
And then we have the CAC, the Content Advisory Committee. And then item writing. Teachers develop the items for the MSTEP and the K2 assessments. So if you want to be an item writer, please go and sign up. We're always looking for new teachers. We try and get a variety of teachers, so they're not all from one specific area. We have teachers who come down from the UP. We have teachers from lower bottom portion of our state.
And there is you can choose either sketches or a stipend. And if you travel more than 50 miles, we'll put you up the night before, dinner the night before. It's catered lunch. You do have to wait a good 30 or 40 minutes between the catered lunch and the snack. So that's, we're trying to work on that.
And then data review happens. So all of these items that we are testing, the bias and sensitivity groups and the content committees review all of these. And then we also take a look at the stats. So there will be items on the test that are field tests that are not counted against the student. What we're trying to do is see how the students are going to test on those items, gather information, gather stats, and make sure that these items are, you know, in the best format before we use them on a test. Standard setting, kind of talked about that a little bit, I think. And then range finding. And then if you want to take a picture, here is the QR code, so you can access it quickly to sign up. Yep, it takes you right to the application, so you can sign up for one of our committees. If you don't take a picture now and you decide later you want to be a member of, on one of our committees, please go to the MDE website and you can sign up there. Something else to help you stay informed is our magazine. You can subscribe to this. Talked about this earlier. It's called The Spotlight, and here's the link for that.
How many folks get The Spotlight? Yay. How many folks read The Spotlight? Wow, okay. We, all the graphics, all that's done in-house, so we put a lot of effort into that.
And then we just want to put a little plug in here for our benchmark assessments. They do offer color graphics, and the graphics, like Kyle said, are done by our comp team. They do a great job. It has a larger font size. There's no scrolling in the K2. Everything's on one screen. It looks and feels like a game. We actually go out into the field, and we watch the students taking the test to kind of get some feedback. There are audio supports. In K and 1, there's a human voice, so it doesn't sound like a robot, as my son says. And then grade 2, we have text-to-speech. And then it's aligned with the third grade M-STEP, similar item types, rigor, and there's accessibility as well. The K2 testing dates are here.
Okay. All right. There's our testing times. The same as before. We've gone out and watched the kids take the test, so it's plenty long enough. There's no plan to make the test longer. Jen, you had a...
I do. Hi, folks. I'm Jen Paul. I'm an English learner and exceptional assessment specialist in the assessment office with my colleagues here. I've got a plug for two new things that I want you all to be aware of related to supports and accommodations on the M-STEP this coming spring. One is called continuous magnification. So in previous years, your M-STEPers had an option to use a universal tool called the magnifier that everybody has access to. One of the features with that tool is that the students have to continue to select that option after they go to a new question. They have to continue to click on it so that it magnifies the screen for them. With the continuous magnification option, your students that actually need this, need is in bold, all caps, underlined, need it, would have the test questions enlarged every single time they go to a new question. It retains the magnification as the students go through the test. This will be helpful for some of your students that actually do need it on every single question. For other students, this is not a great option. Okay, so just keep that in mind. It is a new feature for this year. The other new feature for this year, if you have any students that are going to be taking the online stacked Spanish version of the M-STEP math assessment, this now comes with Spanish audio. It defaults with Spanish audio. It's not Spanish text-to-speech. It's Spanish human voice audio, like some person actually recorded this, okay? So you will need to make sure that you have headphones for your students that are taking the stack Spanish, or you'll want to make sure that the audio is disabled before they start testing so that they don't hear it, if they don't need it. As Nikki and Kyle already mentioned, you know, you can go out and check out the OTTs, and that'll give you a sense of kind of what it sounds like and how it might feel for a student. Certainly have your students that need it go out and do that too. Okay? Yep, the question is, how does that feature for continuous magnification actually get enabled for a student? Although this is a universal tool, just like the magnifier, somebody needs to go into the Insight portal and actually enable it. It works a little bit more like a designated support or accommodation. Like somebody's got to go in and check that box that a student actually needs it in the portal. Good question. Yep. The question is continuous magnification available for all of the content areas? Yes. As well as my access too. Thank you.
So here's our contact information. Whoops. Whoa, Julie, you're fast.
Wow, dizzy. Once again, I'm last.
I just wanted to touch base on some frequently or recently asked questions. There was one question that was asked earlier, I think yesterday, and it's in regards to the passage-based writing. And the question was, is TTS, text-to-speech, available for the passage-based writing? It is available as a designated support, so that answers that question. And then this question, when will they be answering it? It's item number 7. And does it require them to type their responses? Yes, they will be using a keyboard. And then paper pencil test takers would just handwrite their response. Is this the only writing piece, the passage-based writing? Yes, there is one response. So they read the context and then answer the question. And are they assessed on a 4-point rubric? Yes, I have the copies of the rubric. I'll leave them up here if you would like to look at them. I also have the flyer that was in the spotlight. It's, you know, null and void because we finished this year, but then you'll know what to look for next year. We used the same kind of format, just updated it. So if you want either of those, please come and take one afterwards. And then where can I find examples of the passage-based writing and the bulleted list? So there's that again, spiral review it so you get it in your memory. So. Yes, the presentation is uploaded, so if you need any of those links, Julie's going to try and bring it back up. There you go. Okay, yes. Yes, yes. Good question. Yes, those are all available online. Any other? Are there sample passage-based writing and then also examples? Yes. Any other questions or things that you're wondering about?
Sure. Again, in the first sheet, you have to sit in the front.
In the rubric, it does a really good job of going through the 0 to 4. Is there a way we can get a little more detail on some of the non-score items?
Yes. I'm going to pass that on to Julie because this is in her wheelhouse.
Yes, we have different kinds of items that get a score of 0, but they're in different categories, like if they're in a different language, if they don't address the prompt at all. Did you have something? Okay, and so if we don't have a true zero, which means the student got a zero, but if they do some of these other things, they'll get a zero. What did you want?
So when that happens on passage-based writing item and they don't get, I'm Phoebe Ghost, I'm the MSTEP Assessment Administration and Reporting Consultant. And so on the MSTEP webpage, there's a document called Condition Codes. And so when you see that reported, you'll see there, it can be insufficient or off topic where they're not writing about anything to do with the topic. So that's all reported there, and there's a document on the MSTEP webpage that tells you the condition codes. And so the title of the document is Condition Codes.
Yeah, and we were able to pull that out of our student data file. We got a lot of off-purpose, and we didn't off see topic. A big difference.
Off topic?
Mm-hmm. No, not off topic, off purpose.
Oh.
We didn't see a big difference between the off purpose and the rubric score we didn't see a lot of difference between them. So some examples, I guess, of off purpose would be helpful to the students.
Oh, yeah, we can look into that.
Sure. I have more info for you all, since you're all here and we have time. So the supports and accommodations guidance document that has all of the supports and accommodations tables for what's actually available for the MSTEP assessments as well as our other assessments is updated. It's on the website, so if you were looking for that, it's current, it's out there and available for you, as are all of the other resources that kind of go along with it, such as the worksheets that help you input all of the supports and accommodations into the Insight system. We have one other new thing that some of your students might actually appreciate this year. We've been working on some very short videos for how to use some of the supports and accommodations. So for example, if your students are looking to use and learn how to use the stacked Spanish form of MSTEP, not we've got the OTTs, but we're actually going to have a video now that is available in the portal, and it's in Spanish. So your students that actually need this and are looking for some explanation for how this will benefit them, how to use it, they're like two-minute videos. So they're very, very short. We're finishing up the ASL one, which will be provided to students in ASL with closed captioning. So there are some new and different things that we're providing to students and to educators and even parents, if they were interested, that could be useful.
Any other questions, concerns, stories, jokes?
I've made it through the presentation without mentioning the Mighty Ohio State Buckeyes.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
No groan. There's no groan. Okay.
On behalf of Kyle, myself, and all of our staff at MDE, thank you for coming, and we appreciate all of your hard work as a 20-year veteran teacher who's been in your shoes. I know how many hours and how much time you put into your students, your classes, your parents. So thank you for educating our youth in Michigan, and thank you for coming today.